welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
So that I can explain in a biblical fashion, okay? I'm going to be asking us to open a lot of Bible verses, okay? So that if I'm explaining one thing, we can easily look at it in the Bible. You understand? That way, we can follow scripturally, okay? Now, I said we are all alive now, Abby. I want you to open to Psalm 139, verse 16 to 17. That's the first thing from here. Psalm 139, verse 16 to 17. Yes. Psalm 139, verse 16 to 17.
Your eye saw my unformed substance.
Go ahead.
Your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book.
Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Yes.
In your book were written, every one of them.
Yes.
The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
Amen. So this is simply talking about the fact that God knew we were going to come into the world even before we came. Abby? So now we have come. Now, there are two choices before us. It's either we desire for Jesus or we don't. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20.
I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. That I have set two choices before you, life or death. Blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life.
Choose Jesus.
That you and your offspring may live.
So that you and your children may live. Yes, to 20.
Loving the Lord your God. Obeying his voice. And holding fast to him. For is your life and the length of your
because
day.
Because is your life and is the length of your days.
That you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers.
Which land is that? Is it Canaan? Which land? Can you point to it? The eternal kingdom. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. We are looking at, there shall in no wise enter in anyone or anything that defiles, anything that works abomination, anything that maketh a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Yes, what does Jeremiah say?
Thus says the Lord.
This is what the Lord says.
Stand by the road.
Can you see him standing on the road? Can you see this man standing on the road? Stand on the road, yes.
And look and ask for the ancient paths. Where the good way is. And walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said.
Please hold on. Yes. But they said.
We will not walk in it. I even set watchmen over you. Saying. Pay attention to the sound of the trumpet.
Listen to the sound of the trumpet.
But they said.
But this is what they said.
We will not pay attention.
We won't listen.
Amen. That will not be you. That will not be me in Jesus' name. But you see, beyond the prayer and beyond the amen, if it will not be so, who will work at it? Huh? You are not answering again. You don't know who will work at it. Who will make sure it doesn't end up like that? It is you. Okay? Now, stand by the way and ask for the good way. And ask for the ancient path where the good way is. There are two roads. Narrow way and there's a broad way. Okay? The broad way is the way of the world. That's where everybody is. And so many in church are so confused. They're on that way too. The narrow way is simply the way of discipleship, is the way of following Jesus. Following who? Huh? Did I say the way of following a man? It's the way of following who? Jesus Christ. But it's a very narrow way. It's a very difficult road. In fact, there are so many churches and their headquarters on this Broadway. Not just that they have branches on the Broadway. The headquarters of the church itself is on the Broadway. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, you will see Jesus speaking about these two ways before a person dies. Of which, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are already on one of them. And you can identify where you are on the basis of how you live and the choices that you make. Who you affiliate with, okay? The things you like, the things you don't like, all of those things put together can help you to know where you actually are in this same present day and age before you either die or before the rapture happens. The broad way allows all philosophies. Everybody is there. In fact, the Holy Spirit told me the broad way is the world system. Amen. The way the people of this world live, the choices they make, the things they do, how they do party, how they do naming ceremony, how they do this one, how they do that, all their cultures and traditions and religions, all of them put together, they are all here. It is a way that leads away from God. Can somebody read Matthew chapter 7? Matthew 7, 13 to 14. I don't want to put scriptures on it so it's not too cluttered. It's already cluttered, okay? So I'll just be calling the scriptures.
Enter by the narrow gates.
Enter in by the narrow gate. Can you see that this agrees with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20? Jeremiah 6, verse 16 to 17? Enter by the narrow way. Yes?
For the gate is wide.
Because the gate is wide.
And the way is easy.
And the way is easy.
That leads to destruction.
That leads away from God and leads away to hell.
And those who enter by it are many.
And the people who enter in thereby, they are so many.
For the gate is narrow.
But the gate is narrow.
And the way is hard that leads to
and
life.
And the way is difficult that leads to life.
And those who find it are few.
But you see, the people who will find it, they are not plenty. There are very few people. Not because the way is hidden. Amen. But because the choice will not be made by most people. Most people will prefer to be on the broad way, still praying that their God is a God of mercy when they are on the road of judgment. Amen. Or when they are on the road to judgment. Do you understand? They will still be claiming God of mercy. I know my Redeemer liveth. I mean, there's a way me, I'm serving my God. They'll be saying all of those kind of things. Yet, they'll be on the way of the world. They will be on the way of those who are going away from God. Now, I said one of two things will happen. It is either we die and we are buried. And when we are dead, depending on the choice you make, it's either you go down or you go up. Amen. Or the rapture happens and some people go up and some people remain upon the earth. Okay? But what we are tracing, don't forget, is Revelation 21:7, verse 27, that says, there shall in no way enter in. If I'm supposed to use a more modern translation, it will read this way, it is impossible for anyone to enter in, okay, who is either defiled, or works an abomination, or makes a lie, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Now, we are at this point. Let us talk first of all about death. Then we'll talk about the rapture. Okay? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. I think the verse should be 27. Hebrews 9.
After that, 27.
Yes. What does it say?
And just as it is appointed for man to die once.
Yes.
And after that comes judgment.
It is appointed unto man to die how many times? Only once. And after that is what? Judgment. The moment a man dies, he comes here. I mean his body. While his spirit either goes to hellfire or goes to await his own judgment in heaven. Amen. Unlike the unbeliever, the Christian will be judged, except he will not be judged for sin. Okay? Because Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, had already been judged for our sins. Okay? Instead, what the Christian is judged for is now his works, what he did while he was on earth. Did he follow Jesus or he was busy multiplying works? Okay? How did he follow Jesus? On the basis of how he followed Jesus, did he do it well? Did he not do it well? That would be the basis of his judgment. It's not that when he's judged here, it's going to go back again to hellfire. No. Okay? Now, having established the issue of death, let us now go to the matter of rapture. But I want to use a connecting scripture. Okay? That is a scripture or two connecting scriptures. Scriptures that connect death with scripture. Sorry, with rapture. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, we have just mentioned death. I don't want to just jump and go to rapture. So I want to take a slow, is it a gentle curve? Is that what they call it? So that way you follow me easily, okay? First of all, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we will read from verse number 50, but we will stop at verse 53. Yes?
I tell you this, brother.
This is what I'm telling you, brethren.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Please hold on there. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For in John chapter 3, around verse 7, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he told him, I think that should be verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You must have experienced a second birth. You must have experienced being born again. Flesh and blood cannot inherit this kingdom. Man in his natural state cannot come into the kingdom of God. It is not possible. Why is it so? For in Romans chapter 8 from verse 6 to 8, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It does not obey the laws of God, and indeed it cannot. Therefore, they which are in the flesh cannot please God. So flesh and blood cannot do what? If you can't please God, can you enter God's kingdom? The answer is no. So man in his natural state are separated from God because of the sins of Adam and his own sins, cannot enter in. There must be help for him, and that help is located at Calvary. Whoever now brother must be saved must come to the cleansing flow at Calvary. There are no two ways around it. That's why the religions of men will not save them. It doesn't matter how people say they worship, they fast, and do all of those things. Not a single religion in this world can save anybody. God never established any religion. He has no interest in religions. Do you know why? For all he had with Adam from the beginning was a relationship. And all that Christ came to do was to restore that relationship that was lost. God has no business with religion. So men can go all the way doing all their religions. It's on the day they die. That's when their eyes will be opened that they've lived for nothing. And they have gambled with the only life they have that has no duplicate. May you not gamble in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, yes?
Nor does perishable inherit
What is perishable? What can die? Nor can it inherit what is imperishable that cannot die. Yes?
Behold, I tell you a mystery.
Beloved, I'm showing you a secret.
We shall not all sleep.
It's not all of us that will be in the grave. It's not all of us that will die.
But we shall all be changed.
But how many will be changed? All of us will be changed. Both those who died and those who did not die. Okay? Yes?
In a moment.
Because in a moment.
In the twinkling of an eye.
What is the twinkling of an eye? Second. Eh? When you close your eye and open it, the thing has happened. May it meet you ready in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Twinkling of an eye is less than a second. Amen. Look at it. Can you see that a second is not as fast? Eh? A second is still slower compared to when you twinkle your eye, when you just close it and open. It doesn't take a second to do that. It takes a millisecond. But all of a sudden, it will happen. That somebody who is alive, maybe is on the way to bus stop, suddenly will be no more. It will just be taken. Amen.
Amen.
And that is no longer a popular doctrine in church. Doesn't mean now that God's okay. But since they're not talking about it again, let's leave it. No. You know, God does not pander to the whims of men. He doesn't. He goes ahead inexorably doing what he has proposed he will do. In fact, let me shock you. What is happening that everywhere is quiet, nobody is speaking about it, is actually fulfillment of prophecy. Because he said that just before he comes, the love of many will do what? It will wax cold. Because iniquity will increase. People will be talking to themselves. Tell your neighbor, it is my turn. How do they say those things? It's my turn. They say, it's my turn. I hope they say, it's my turn to turn. Amen. But that's not what they will say. It's my turn for favor. It's my turn for breakthrough. But Jesus said, just before he comes, it will be like in the days of Noah. Men will be absorbed with their own things. They'll be doing business. They'll be marrying. They'll be given in marriage until Noah enter the ark. And then the flood will fall. And it will wipe them all off. Has it happened before? So that means it can happen again. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. For in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye,
At the last trumpet.
For the trumpet
will sound. And the dead will be raised imperishable.
Now look at it now. If it is a Christian, when he dies, his body goes to the ground. But don't forget, his spirit is already with God in heaven. Okay? I will show you scriptures for that just in a short while. Okay? So, at the rapture, when Jesus is coming, he doesn't come alone. I will show you scriptures also. He comes with the spirits of the just or of the righteous who have been dead and their bodies are buried. He comes in the clouds and then the trumpet sounds and then their bodies come out from their graves and is joined to their spirits that has come with him and then they are now immortal. Hallelujah. So they enter into glorification by resurrection. Amen. But those of us who are alive and remain, according to 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 to 18, we will be changed suddenly if Jesus comes now. So we will enter into glorification by translation. That is that sudden change that happens without dying. Are you following me up to this point? Eh? Please read on.
And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must be put on the imperishable.
Because even these are our own bodies, even though we are Christians, because it is a dying body, it must be changed. Hallelujah. Yeah. It must put on an imperishable body. Yes?
And this mortal body must put on immortality.
And this mortal body must put on immortality.
When the perishable puts on the imperishable.
When the perishable puts on imperishable.
And the mortal puts on the immortality.
And this mortal body puts on immortality.
Then shall come to pass the saying that is written.
Then shall come to pass the saying that is written.
Death is swallowed up in victory.
Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah.
Amen. I said I want to show you the scripture that talks about if a Christian dies, yes, his body goes to the grave, but his spirit goes back to God who gave it. Okay? Ecclesiastes. And that's why we don't say Christians die, we say the Christian has slept. For we don't die, for death is a very strong word, and it means separation from God. Okay? So Christians sleep, they don't die. And that's why we don't sorrow like the world who have no hope. Amen. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7.
And the dust returns to the earth as it was.
When a man dies, the dust, which is the body, returns to the earth as it was.
And the spirit returns to God who gave it.
But the man's spirit returns back to God who gave it. Amen. Now, if it was an unbeliever that died, his spirit and soul does not go up while his body goes into the grave. Amen. It goes down. You will not go down in Jesus' name. So don't stay down. Down is where sin is. Down is where evil is. Down is where darkness is. When he dies, he goes down to the belly of the earth. He goes to await his judgment in hellfire. Luke. We're opening the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Because of our time, I can't read the entire passage, okay? The passage is from verse 19 down to verse 31, okay? So whatever I'm saying, you see it there. So if I'm just taking anything, maybe just a verse or two as I speak, okay? Now, you will see this rich man when he died. In verse 22 to 23, can you read for me very quickly? Or to 24?
The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side.
When poor men die, when I say poor, I'm not saying economically poor. I mean a humble person who depended on God, who trusted in God, okay? It is angels that carry them when men bury them. They usher them in into God's kingdom to await their judgment and the eternity that God has promised. Okay? Yes?
The rich man also died and was buried.
But when the man that is full of himself and full of his resources without God dies, when he opens his eyes, that's if demons don't come to carry him to hell. When he opens his eyes, just that same twinkling of an eye, none, he finds himself in a place he can never change again. He opens his eyes in hell. Yes?
And in Hades.
And inside hell.
Being in torment. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side.
Yes. 24 now.
And he called out. Father Abraham.
Father Abraham.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy upon me.
And send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water. The end of his finger in water.
Yes.
And cool my tongue.
Yes.
For I am in anguish in this flame.
So at least we've understood up to this point. Abby? Now, this is just an aside, okay? Let me just mention it quickly. Before Jesus came and died for us and went to hell on our behalf and resurrected from the dead and gained victory over death, sin, and the devil, whenever righteous people die, they don't go to heaven. Okay? They go to wait for Jesus, for his coming in paradise, in Sheol, not hell now. Okay? Sheol or hell simply means world of the departed spirits. Okay? So, they used to be here. You remember in Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus died, that some graves were opened and people came out from their graves. And the Bible says that even after his resurrection, many saints were seen by people. Okay? It was because Jesus took captivity captive. Ephesians 4, from verse 7 to verse 9 to verse 10. Yes. Okay? All of the righteous people that were in Sheol He has now taken them to paradise in heaven. Do you understand? They are not yet given New Jerusalem. Do you know why? Because the Bible is speaking in Romans chapter... I hope you don't mind as different scriptures are coming together. You are following me, Abby? Don't worry about the scriptures. You can have it in the recording, okay? The Bible is speaking in Romans chapter 11. That's the one I was talking about, faith. Is it not so? Huh? It's Hebrews. Thank you. Hebrews 11. I think verse 40. The last verse there. That God, having prepared better things for us, that they, without us, will not be made perfect. Do you understand it now? So the concept is that, yes, they are in heaven, but they are in paradise. They are waiting the rest of us at the end of time to come in so that our judgment can be together and can be at the same time. And then our rewards can be on the basis of what we have individually done. Do you understand now? Huh? So, this is empty now. Nobody is here again. Okay? It used to be called Abraham's bosom, but now Abraham himself is in heaven, and all the righteous people are in heaven. How do we know that? Apart from what we have said in Matthew, about when Jesus rose in Matthew chapter 27, it is also, that same fact is also written in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that was talking about, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Which witnesses? Those who witnessed in chapter 11 of Hebrews. You understand? Do you understand? All the heroes and heroines of faith that the Bible talked about in chapter 11. In chapter 12, the Bible said that they are watching us as we are racing. So therefore, we need to be serious about how we run. Since they are waiting for us, since all of us are supposed to be judged together and on the basis of the same standard. Now, when a person dies and is in hell, his position will not change until it is time for the final judgment. Amen? So, if it is 2,000 years between here and here, how many years will he be born in here? 2,000. Now, you think that hellfire is the big thing. No, it's not. There's the lake of fire. The difference between them, this is a police cell that police keep people before they go to court. This is court. This one is prison. Amen. You see, it would have been somehow if I didn't draw a chart. It would be really confusing. Okay? Now, but why are we saying that? I think we should look at it in scripture so that it is established in scripture, so that you, that way you know. I've shown you one about the rich man in Abraham, and that was begging for a drop of water and all of that. He's still burning. As we are talking now, he's still burning. It is a very, very terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Man is not supposed to face any of these things. In fact, hellfire, lake of fire, none of them was made for man. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 41, then verse 46. Said, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for man. Man will love sin so much, they will follow Satan to hell, then follow him to the lake of fire. If God does not put people in hell, people's sins put them in hell. What did I say? God does not. Neither does God say that because you are sinful, that's why you're going to hell. No. All men sinned. Amen. I was a sinner just as you are a sinner. And if you are still drinking sin like water, your destiny is this place. Nobody is cursing you, just the simple truth. Amen. Don't worry. When it's time, when I'm about to die, I'll just quickly change. What if you sleep and you didn't wake up? And this year, you are not in the habit of praying every night. God, I know I'm in sin. Oh. But he says, if I die this night, let me make it. Oh. You know, no sinner really prays like that. But he's sure of when he's going to die. So that he can quickly pray. Now, he waits here until he's there in court before he goes to the lake of fire. I want us to quickly establish the fact that he waits here and is waiting under punishment. Okay? It will be in 1 Peter. Let me look for it very quickly. I'm sorry about that. It's not 1 Peter. It's supposed to be 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to read from different translations.
Then the Lord, ESV.
What?
ESV.
Okay, let's hear ESV.
Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials.
The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials.
And to keep the unrighteous under punishment.
But he also knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment. Yes?
Until the day of judgment.
Until the day of their judgment. Is there any other translation?
Living Bible.
Living Bible.
So also the Lord can rescue you and me from the temptation that surrounds us.
Yes.
And continue to punish the ungodly until the day of final judgment comes.
He knows how to continue to punish the ungodly until the day of final judgment. What does the message say?
So God knows how to rescue the godly from evil trials. And he knows how to hold the feet of the wicked to the fire until judgment day.
He knows how to do what? Hold the feet of the wicked to the fire. In hellfire, do they give them shoes? Is it where there's no clothes? That's where there will be shoes. How will a man survive in the fire that will burn angels? Yet, no sinner will enter into this kingdom. Not even by mistake. Not even by mercy. What did I say? God's mercy is Calvary. What did I say? What's God's mercy? That Jesus died for our sins. That's all God can do. It's left to a man to accept or to reject. There's nothing else God can do beyond that. Now, having established that, the Christian, if he dies, he goes to heaven. Remember that scripture where Paul was saying, I don't know which one I should do, whether I should be at home, whether I should be in the body away from home, or at home and away from the body. Let me quickly look at Pastor Bami Wajo. It's in one of the epistles of Paul. I just want to establish that, then we move to judgment seat of Christ and what happens after this. Yes. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 6.
So.
Yes.
So we are always of good courage.
Yes.
We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord.
Can you see that now? Also 2 Corinthians 5:1.
For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen. Pastor, I'm still looking for that one where Paul was confused. Please still let me look for it. It's still there. Now, at the point of the rapture, I hope you know all Christians, whether it's dead, whether it's those who are dead or those who are alive, will be raptured together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 to verse 17. Very quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17.
But we do not want you to be uninformed.
Yes.
Brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope.
Yes.
For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who are falling asleep.
Yes.
For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who are falling asleep.
Which simply means we will not be transformed before those who have died. And now their bodies are in the grave, but their spirits are with the Lord in heaven. Okay? Yes?
For the Lord himself would descend from heaven.
Yes?
With a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first.
Who will rise first? The dead in Christ. So their spirit and souls will join their bodies, and they will be resurrected. They will be normal human beings like this. except that they have tasted death before. Do you understand? But instead, their bodies will no longer now be the one that can die. For it's appointed unto man to die many times. Neither is their resurrection according to what was buried. Hallelujah. Bible speaking in 1 Corinthians 15 says that we're buried in weakness, but we shall be raised in glory. Hallelujah. So it will just be in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. The way it looks, that's now what we're going to look like. Amen. Okay? Yes?
Then we who are alive. Who are left.
Yes?
We'll be caught up together with them. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with
and
the Lord.
And from that time forever and ever, we will always be with the Lord. Amen. Now, you would have thought, thank God, oh, we have now made it home. That should be all. No, that's the beginning. Hallelujah. The plans of God are eternal. What are the plans of God? God has a universe that we know of. Maybe it's a multiverse. Amen. Because uni means one. Okay? And in the plans and purpose of God, it is His Son, Jesus Christ, also the second person of the Godhead, and the church of the firstborn, which is me and you, redeemed man, now glorified man, that will rule over this eternal kingdom. Rule over all that God has made in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Therefore, Genesis now meets Revelation. Do you understand what I just said? You know when He made man, He wanted man to rule. Is it not so? Huh? Sin came and all that. By the time everything is restituted at restoration of all things, we go back again to God's original plan. His plan is to have a family of kings and priests who rules with Him. It's not about this world. So that's why most of when I see preachers put so much emphasis on you will drive that Jeep. You know, I used to wonder, out of all the things God is talking about, Jeep? If your problem is Jeep, I'll pray for you now, you have the Jeep. But she used to be riding Jeep when rapture has occurred. Amen. When all things have changed and all the works of man based on sin upon this earth has been put down, and your Jeep included. Do you want to pass away with those kind of things? It's not even that those we who are preaching to you now, I'm not saying this thing because I look frustrated. Do I look frustrated? Do I look haggard? That's not why. But there's far more in the eternal plan of God than that you have a house in Lekki. What is Lekki? Amen. Or that you travel to the U.S. What is the U.S.? Show me their proudest cities. I will show you poverty. What will I show you? Let them attempt to build a fence with gold. Go there the next morning, whether the fence will be standing. Fence. I didn't say house. Fence. And you allow men to lie to you and deceive you, and in this world of evil and sin, you are looking for rest and you're on a journey. Will He take care of you while you're here? He will take care of you. He will take very good care of you. But that's not the point. What did I say? Christianity is not a means of escaping from economic hardship. Amen. That's not what Jesus died for. It's not because you are jobless. As you come to this place now, God is giving you a job. After that, you will still go to hell. How many years will you live in this world that you put all your hopes upon this world? That's the issue. Now, the moment we get to heaven, we will be called to face judgment. Amen. Now, not the judgment for our sins that will take us to hell. Remember that Jesus had already been judged for our sins. Okay, it's a substitution. That's why we can say, I believe in what Christ has done. And because I believe in what He has done, God marks me righteous. Do you get it now? Not because I did anything, but because I put my faith and hope in all that Jesus Christ has done. Okay? But we need to answer for what we did with the grace of God. Amen. We need to answer for what we did with the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to answer for what we did with the use of our time. or the abuse of our resources. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. We start from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15.
So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil.
Amen. Now I want the same scripture that I have read in two translations, Amplified Bible Classic and then Amplified Bible. From 9 to 10.
Therefore, whether we are at home, on earth away from him, or away from home and with him,
yes,
we are constantly ambitious and strive earnestly to be pleasing to him.
We are constantly ambitious
and strive earnestly to be pleasing to
and
him.
And we strive earnestly to be pleasing to him.
For we must.
Why do we do that? Why do we make that our label? That I must struggle to make sure that I please God. Why is it so? Yes?
For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ.
After the rapture, every member of the church will appear. And when I say every member of the church, okay, I'm speaking of both Old Testament saints, okay, and we New Testament believers. All of us put together in one, we must appear to be judged. Yes? And will be revealed as we really are.
Before the judgment seat of Christ.
Before the judgment seat of Christ. So that each one
may receive.
May receive.
His pay.
His pay.
According to what he has done in the body.
According to what he has done in the body.
Whether good or evil.
Whether good or evil. That is.
Considering what his purpose.
They will consider what your purpose.
And motive have been.
What my motive has been.
And what he has achieved.
They will consider what we achieve in the things God calls achievement. Not that, wait. Not that, you know, the second year I got to Lagos, I built two houses. You don't call anybody. Go and check the houses in Dubai. You see, you didn't build anything. I hear the people who built it is not that they have any heaven where they are going. They will check what we have achieved in the things that God counts as what? Achievements. Yes?
Being busy with.
They will look at what we have been busy with. What are you busy with? What wakes you up early in the morning to run out? It will be checked. Yes?
And giving himself.
They will look at what you have given yourself and your attention to accomplishing. And whatever it is worth, that's what the person will have. Amen. Don't think people don't cry in heaven. They do. Amplified Bible very quickly because of our time. Yes?
Therefore, whether we are at home,
yes,
on earth,
yes,
or away from home and with him,
yes,
it is our constant ambition to be pleasing to him.
Yes.
For we believers will be called to account.
We will be called to account.
And must all
appear. And you know if the Nigerian hates anything, it's to give account. Amen. And you don't know the Nigerian doesn't like to give account. It's not just senators, though. Even the ordinary Nigerian. If you give him 200 naira, he doesn't want you to ask him how it is spent. Just know. Because he can't account for anything. He can't say from 8:35 to 40. You can buy, Nimoshe. You can't. Maybe he's going from church to church, hoping his breakthrough will come. Yes?
before the judgment seat of Christ.
We will all have to account before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes?
So that each one may be repaid.
So that each one may be repaid.
For what has been done in the body.
For what he has done while he was in this body.
Whether good or bad.
As a saved person. Whether good or bad. Now, you know, did it not shock you that the Bible can say a believer can do either good or bad? Did King James say evil? Or is it bad? Because we have to separate evil from bad. You that whenever they offend you, it is 3 weeks before you remember to greet them. Not that you are not seeing the person that offended you. But only because man doing it, they are helping you to write it down. That is three weeks. So even if the person that has offended you is a new convert, and through you, the name of God is being blasphemed among the unbelievers, as it is written. You that your own is, oh, Nisuruni. You don't understand patience. It's not in your dictionary. If you look at your dictionary now, when we get to that P-A-T, somehow it has been skipped. It's not there in your dictionary. That whatever you want, when must it come? Now, if God is not a liar, when my husband, when must he come? If he's not a liar, when my baby, when must the baby come? If God promised me anything, when must he come? If he doesn't come now, what happens to God? He's a liar. Continue, they are writing it down for you. The last message that we are going to take on Saturday will be the message about when the books are opened. The Bible says that the books are open. Then another book was opened, which is Book of Life. Abi, I found out that there are books. All manner of books. Yet, instead of being conscious, there are books. Hey, this one that I put, isn't that saying? Hey, you are back into works again. You understand? Instead of that, just follow Jesus. He's the only righteous person who ever lived and who perfectly obeyed God. If you do that, everything will be marked right for you. So if you are doing that, you, 3 weeks old anger, how will you not be angry? The things that Jesus is angry with. Are you getting it now? You impatient person, how will you now be? You will only be impatient with the things God will be impatient with. I always say it. If anyone will live the life of Christ, if you will live like Jesus Christ, under a week, your whole area will know that a Christian lives around them. It's because you have been living as church person, you know, church people now, with your sticker and banner. Some people even wear banner now. You know? That's what they used to know, that you're a Christian. No, if you are going on the road and nobody knows you, they should know that's a Christian. You have not told them anything, you haven't said anything, you haven't done anything. It should be clear. Yes? So wherever we stop, I don't want to rush it. Wherever we stop, by the grace of God, we'll continue from there in the morning, okay? Because I want us to get to that conclusion. If not, when we start talking about classes of people that will not enter, you not know why it's important, okay? Yes?
That is, each will be held responsible for his actions.
Okay.
Purposes.
Each of us will be held responsible for our actions.
Purposes.
Our purposes.
Goals.
Our goals.
Motives.
Our motives.
The use or misuse of
the use time, or abuse of our time.
Opportunities.
The use or abuse of our opportunities
and abilities.
The use or abuse of our talents and giftings. The ones that God gave gifts to that can sing. People like the banj. And it is to go and play worldly song and all that. No, they won't account here because they won't even make it in since they are not believers. But they will give account at the judgment seat, because even their books will be opened. Amen. I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus that you not be found wanting. Brethren, let me not deceive you. Let me speak to you plainly. Okay? If a Christian will make it home, and he will make it home victoriously, such that heaven rises up in a rousing welcome to welcome the person because he has done the right thing, he must ensure that he feeds on sound doctrine. What did I say? If not, it's not possible. Just look at the compromise around us. It's too many. And when I say feed on sound doctrine, I'm not using style to tell you, come to my church. I'm not a church pastor. Are you getting it now? But ensure that the truth as it is in Jesus, the truth as it is in the word of God, you yourself, you love it first of all. For if you don't love it, you will not be attracted by it. Most people don't like hearing the truth. Most people don't even like it if you are correcting them. Especially sisters. Amen. If she's slim like this, like me like this, you know I'm slim a little. When you just correct them, they'll just swell. I used to be surprised. How can a slim person swell? And it will look big. And yet it's not big. If they cannot correct you, if at all you get in. The things that are fighting you are devils that are naked. You know when those touts want to fight, what do? You first of all put off all his clothes. Now, once one is doing that to you, you know that you want to fight a madman. So if you like yourself, what will you do? You just relax and say, let me go. The people that are barring this way that you won't make it home, they are devils that are naked. So they are not playing games. They mean it that you won't make it home. So you have to have nothing to lose to be able to tell yourself, me, what will happen? I will make it home. So, Bogbon, Kotobama Fai, Diwai Dino. What will I do? I will make sure I let them go. If it is that, and all the Egbe were on the Broadway, what will happen? Leave the Egbe, run to the narrow way. Amen. If it is ambition to be this, to be that, leave it and rest in whatever God makes of your life. There's more than this 90 years. If you even live up to 90 years. Amen. Many don't even live up to 90 years. There's far more. There's an eternity behind it. And it's a long time. Even after 200 trillion years, we have just started. As it is for those who enter into eternal kingdom, so it is for those in the lake of fire. It's an eternity without change. And this is the reason why, if you know that it is impossible for people to enter in without measuring up to God's standards, what then must we do? Whatever it is that is a requirement, that's what we can do. Since there's no angel that you can bribe. But if to say, when one gets to the gate, I can say, come, come, come. You know, the way we do for police. And the person says, what is it? They say, good afternoon. I say, welcome, 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 welcome. Say, okay, how much will you collect? How much? It will look at you and say, what are you talking about? Even if you bring all the money in this whole world, let's say you are able to steal from everybody in the world, and you bring that money, that let me come in. My Bible says, and I will show you where it is in Psalm 49, verse 7, the Living Bible Translation, that all the money in this whole world, all the wealth, all the investment can't save a single soul. And it seems that there are about, how many billion of us in the world? Is it 7 billion now? How many are we in the world? I think it's 7 billion, or maybe 7 point something billion. Now, if all the resources all of us have can't save one person, for salvation doesn't come through that way, then we ought to, and then we have to be very, very serious. At the moment the rapture happens, please open that place for me, Psalm 49, verse 7, Living Bible. Immediately after the rapture, of course, that's when the tribulation period occurs and the Antichrist comes in. I'm not teaching about the tribulation period, so I'll skip it. Do you understand? I don't want it to distract me, so I'll just skip it. But that's the time. But it's at the end of that time that the saints will now come with the Lord. Okay? Back again into this world to conquer it. Amen. I'm going to start talking tomorrow from there because I want us to be able to pray, and in case we have questions, ask within the little time I have. Okay? So I'll start from here tomorrow. Then all of these, how it relates also, I'll be speaking about them tomorrow. Yes? Psalm 49, verse 7.
Yet not one of them.
Yet not one of them.
Though rich as kings.
Though rich as kings.
Can ransom his own brother from the penalty of sin.
Can pay the ransom for his own brother from the penalty of sin. Yes, the next
for
verse.
For God's forgiveness.
Because God's forgiveness.
Does not come that way.
Doesn't come that way. Yes.
For a soul is far too precious.
Because to why is it that God's forgiveness doesn't come that way? Because a soul, one person's soul, is far too precious. Yes?
To be ransomed by mere earthly wealth.
To be ransomed by mere earthly wealth. Yes?
There is not enough of it in all the earth.
We don't have enough in the whole world.
To buy eternal life.
To buy eternal life for even one person. Do you remember 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 23 that says, being born again, is it chapter 2 or chapter 1 verse 23? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God that lives and abides forever. It's 1:23, not 2:23. Okay? So, you are already in this world. You can't change that anymore. Can you? Can you run back? You can't run back anymore. You are here. Decisions are in front of you. What you should do, what I should do, is to make the right decision. Even if we are dumb, but we don't know the decision to make. He said, I place before you life and death. Then he said what again? Choose life, in case you don't know what to choose. Choose life. Jesus is life, for he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. Choose Jesus. Don't choose Christian religion. What should you choose? Jesus. Don't choose religion. Choose relationship with God. Don't choose religion. Religion will not profit you. On that day, when the age will close, you see pastors with their suit being thrown into hell. Religion won't save anybody. It is a relationship with God that will save you. You can't take religion beyond this world, even if they wear religious clothes for you when they are burying you. Eh? They just wear clothes on a body. The only thing that will go with it is your faith. Amen. Faith in a faithful God who does not lie. Faith in a resurrected Christ who is in heaven advocating for you, whether you are alive or whether you are dead. Amen. Faith in the Holy Spirit who will grant you grace to be able to see you through, even in the name of Jesus. As we stand up to pray, I want us to take that hymn song again, particularly the chorus of that hymn song, where it leads, I'll follow Christ every day. And I want you to pray like you have never prayed before. Pray until you are sure you have anchored your soul. Pray until you are sure God had you. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. I don't need to tell you what to pray. Do I need to tell you what to pray? It's clear now what we have dealt with. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Help me in Jesus' name. Let it be planted upon the truth as it is in Jesus' name. Let my soul find rest in the name of Jesus.
Every day.
Help me, precious Lord. Help me, precious Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Follow Jesus.
Help me to know that I must cling to nothing else but you. Grant me grace. Grant me grace in my spirit. Lord, grant me grace in my life. Grant me grace in the name of Jesus. Help my life, help my destiny. How can it be that you have planned for me for all eternity and then I want to perish in time? Help me, Lord, to understand very clearly that your plan is a long-term plan and that your love for me is an everlasting love. Help me, precious Father. Help me to be true to myself. Help me to be true to you. In the name of Jesus. Grant me understanding so that I may live. I don't know the day of rapture. Let it be me prepared. Let it make me ready. Let grace prepare me. Let mercy keep me. Deliver me from the hands of the tempter. Let me not fall into the traps of the devil. Help my life and destiny. Help me to learn to follow you every day. Help me to follow you all the way. Grant me grace, precious Lord. Remove my feet, Lord, from every path of unrighteousness and establish me in your own way. Establish me on the way of truth and righteousness. Establish me, Lord, on the path of truth and righteousness. Teach me the wisdom. Give me the grace. Help me learn the lifestyle of how to live prepared for you, waiting and watching for your coming every day. Help me to learn how to follow you all the days of my life. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want to tell him, Lord, deliver me from the power of sin. Help me to bring myself to the foot of the cross so that your cross can crush the flesh. Help me to bring myself, O Lord my God, to the foot of your cross so that your cross can deal a death blow upon the flesh. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me and help me. Help me all the way. Baba, help me all the way. Help me all the way. Help me all the way in the name of Jesus. I cannot make it without you. I can't make it without you. I've attempted it by myself many times. Of course, I didn't succeed at it. Lord, help me. Remove me from the world. Remove the world system from inside my heart. Remove the world from inside me. Remove me from inside it. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I'm in the world, but I shouldn't be of the world. Help me in the name of Jesus to live for you. Help me to live by you. Help me to live in you. In the name of Jesus. I want you to tell him, Lord, give me a heart that loves the truth, that I may attract the truth, so that I can feed upon sound doctrine all the days of my life until I see you face to face. Everything that resists the truth, that when somebody tells me something, even though it's true, the person has offended me. Lord, deal with such evil. It is evil. Help me to love the truth. Help me to learn to tell myself the truth. Help me, oh Lord my God, to welcome the truth so that I can be helped, so that I can be saved. Even in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help me to love the truth so that I can attract the truth. And by attracting the truth, help me, O Lord my God, to live based on sound doctrine.
Follow all the way. Follow Jesus.
Jesus every day. Great little follow all the way. Follow Jesus every day.
Pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for raising the matters that is paramount in your heart with us. Thank you for giving us the grace to sit, listen, and understand. Be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to appreciate you for sharing with us things that are precious, things that are valued in heaven. Thank you for not holding back from us. Be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray this afternoon. Lord, we want to beg you that you will help us to bring forth fruit that you expect from the word or seeds that have been sown into our hearts, into our lives in the name of Jesus. That in years to come, that the fruit will keep blossoming. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that the words, the seed that have been sown in our hearts, in our lives, and that you will still sow in our heart and in our lives in the course of this meeting, Lord God, will tie us down for your eternal plans in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray that you will continue with us until you have achieved that which you want to achieve in our heart and in our lives, even as we go home. Lord God, we pray that you will keep opening our eyes to what you want us to see. You will keep opening our ears to hear clearly what you are saying, even when we sit alone to study your word and consider it closely. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you work in us both to will and to do your very good pleasure. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your servant that you have used. We pray that you will replenish them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we also want to thank you in advance for tomorrow, that you will continue with us from where you have stopped. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Maker. We bless your name, our God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. God bless you. Let us have a seat.
Concerning the air fire and lake of fire, why he was, he said, air fire is just like a police custody. Why lake of fire is the prison? I want to have clarity on that. I want to know whether air fire is a place where people were really born to achieve. Because what I believe is this: once you are in air fire, you know, there will be pain, there will be torment. You will be requesting, unlike the rich man that was requesting for a drop of water.
Okay, are you trying to ask you that the person in, what would be the difference of the pain in hellfire and lake of fire?
Lake of fire.
Okay.
Yes.
The difference of the pain.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
People go to hellfire. It is their soul and spirit that goes to hellfire because they go after they are dead. Okay? People who enter lake of fire, it's after they have been resurrected. So it is spirit, soul, and body that goes to lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 from verse 11 to 15. That's where you see it. They are raised from the dead. They are raised to face their judgment. After they are judged, they are returned to a lake of fire. That's the difference. So hellfire, no matter how painful it is spirit and soul. But lake of fire, it is spirit, soul, and body. That's the difference.
Praise the Lord. My question is on the word in the morning. And I just want a a brief explanation on, you were talking about how to pray, that saying maybe people continue to pray about different types of battle and all that. And I think if I can't get to quote, if I am correct, there's a place in Job that God was asking devil where and was saying that he was going through and through. And the verse 4, I think he said that skin for skin and whatever man asks, we will use to pay for his own. And
chapter 2.
Verse 4. And again, book of John, he was saying that since the day of John the Baptist,
the kingdom of God suffers violence.
The kingdom of God survives violence.
Violence takes it by force.
Can you please explain that?
Do you think the kingdom of God suffering violence means that you pray and shake your head like this? It means whatever you will do to enter in, do. I told you that the devil is facing you, they are naked. You thought I was joking. The violence is against who? It's against those devils to tell them that Emi go. Emi go, are you what? Or do you understand that? But even I myself has nothing to lose. I'm ready to give it all that it takes so that I enter into the eternal kingdom. That's what it means, that the kingdom suffers violence. It's not that people shake and do all those things that people are doing now. I don't get it. Me, where I'm from, my uncle is a herbalist. So it's not even, I'm not speaking as an Oyibo person, as if I don't know Boshen Lo. My grandmother was a witch. It's not anything. I know, and she knows I know. Among my siblings, I'm the only one that eats her food. So, when I first got born again, the first thing I was dealing with was spiritual warfare. So, I know what I'm talking about. I've used my hand to pack out juju and all of that from our house before. Broke pot. When nobody's at home, and when they came, they are talking about a pot that was broken that they didn't know when it broke. So, I'm not just telling you some things I've read and I'm speaking through my nose because I went to Bible school. No. You understand? Ogunwa, yes. But Nibolowa, in the realm of sin, flesh and all of those things, once you cross over, you live in victory. We fight spiritual battles in victory. How do we fight? For none can win our God. We don't fight if we are struggling, we are on the floor with them. No. We fight victoriously. We fight with assurance of victory. We don't fight not knowing how it will end. No. May God give you understanding in Jesus' name. Do you know what to do now? Point men to Jesus. Once you do that, they will be free. But see, if you dance around and you are talking, you'll be around all of those type of things. Saul didn't die for anybody. It is Jesus that died. Moses didn't even die for anybody. It is Jesus that died. Once you make Jesus a center, it's easy for people. Okay? How many more people have questions so that we can know when we are closing? Yes?
Okay. My question is, okay. From that point, from this point,
yes.
Okay, we either go to heaven or we come here.
If rapture, are you talking about grave or rapture?
No, our destination is either heaven or hell.
Yes.
Okay, at this point now, what happens here? Are we being judged by the last thing we do?
Are you talking about before? You know, this point is before somebody comes to the cross. Or is it that as a Christian or...
As a Christian or unbeliever. As in, at the point of death.
At the point of death.
Yes.
Okay. Are we being judged?
Are we being judged to... Maybe we'll go to heaven or... At the point of death. With what we...
My brother, at the point of death, it's not the last thing you did that you'll be judged by. But if the last thing you did...
Okay, maybe like a sinner, someone who has been... Maybe.
Which one? You are not old.
No,
are you talking as a Christian or as an unbeliever? Okay. Because you can't be both.
As a Christian.
As a Christian. Or you want to ask for both, whether Christian or unbeliever.
Maybe the answer I get for as a Christian would determine for unbeliever.
If a Christian dies, a Christian is not someone that attends fellowship. A Christian is somebody who is following Jesus Christ. who has given his life to Jesus Christ and is doing his best to follow him. He doesn't need to be perfect. Are you getting it now? And that's not a license for you to say, I won't put in him to make him perfect. Eh? That's not a license. So I didn't tell you that one. What I'm trying to say is that it is not sinless perfection that God is looking for at this point. It is your faith in Christ. That's what perfects you. Okay? But if it is true that you believe Jesus, when it says when they slap your right cheek, turn the left, what will you do? Go down. Because that's not when we know whether you believe Jesus or you don't. You understand? You see, because we surely religion and Christianity want to share sort that only more than one. So if you don't really, really ask the proper questions, you won't know whether you're a religious person or not. What makes you a Christian is not even that you attend the fellowships. It's not even that I'm pastoring you. You don't understand. No. It is that does the Lord know you? And are you willing to follow him even if I'm not there anymore? Will you follow him? So if you die at that point, you are going to heaven now. You understand?
Okay. My question is, let's say as a Christian who has been following Christ.
Okay, but they are not here. No, we are recording.
Who has been following Christ. And following at a point, maybe there is a sin. Maybe
he stumbles into sin. Yes. Okay, now let me tell you what you do. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let me use this scenario of maybe a pastor and he has to spend the church money or maybe the daughter's wedding.
Let's not use pastor. Let's use you. You know, since you are not a pastor, so that way you understand it better. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
Now, God knows that we live in a world of sin. What did I say? He knows. There's a difference between stumbling and a fall. You must understand it. A sheep could stumble into mud. It will die trying to come out. Eh? A pig does not stumble into mud. It dives in. Eh? Did Jesus call his disciples sheep or pigs? Sheep. So you could stumble and fall into sin. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, says, my little children, I've written this to you so that you do not sin. But if any one of you sins, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? Who is the propitiation for our sins, but not only our sins, but also the sins of the whole world. Now, what that means is this. When you stumble into sin, don't run away from God. What did I tell you? Run to God. Go and report yourself. You would have removed the accuser, the devil. Eh? And be quick to repent. If you are quick to repent, you'll have grace to stand where you constantly fall. Eh? David was not a perfect man. But he was a man who knew how to relate to God. One man sins against God. What does that man normally do? Adam. He has not seen God. He's just hearing footsteps. Oh, it's a best go. Then you take the shoe and say, your neck is coming up. And when we sin too, that's what we do. And therefore, when you hide from he who you can't hide from, you are begging for judgment. Are you hearing me? And that's how the Bible says that he that covers in sins shall not prosper. But he who confesses them and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You understand? So God knows you are not perfect. He knows that we are all growing in different stages of our lives. We are not all at the same spiritual level here as we are sitting down. It's not possible. You understand? That's where each person is in his walk with God. But what is important is that if you stumble into sin, go back to God. Now, I didn't say you are stumbling every 2 days. It's stumbling, is even physically, the word stumble, is it not a mistake? That somebody is going, then he trips his feet on it. You are now looking for stone to be putting your leg every time. That one is a problem. That one is not stumbling again. So you know. So it's when you make mistakes I'm talking about. We're expected to live a life of righteousness. But when you make mistakes, run to God. Report yourself. Don't let the devil get there before you. You'll be in trouble.
Okay.
If he gets there before you, go to my cassia, let's say, and he will use scriptures. You know? Yes.
What happens if this person here is an unbeliever?
If he's an unbeliever?
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe he's a criminal and he's been condemned by hanging. And,
okay.
At this point,
yes,
it was given. There's this grace they give you. Maybe you need to confess.
Well, whether repentance or something. Okay.
He repented. He goes there.
The moment he dies, they bury his body. He goes to heaven.
So what happens there?
This judgment seat.
What will he be judged for?
He won't be judged for anything. Eh? He will receive. You see, if that when we die, when we just die, that way we'll be so perfect. since you are not given any opportunity to do anything. Do you understand? He won't be judged for anything. Instead, he will be judged that he received and accepted Jesus. And everything that is available that comes to that package, he collects it. That's what will happen.
So he ends up...
You remember the thief at the right hand of Jesus Christ? That's what happened to him. That's so, what you are just talking about now.
So he won't receive any reward.
No, why will he not receive any reward? He will receive the reward of faith. Did Rahab receive a reward? What was her reward? Her entire lineage was saved, Abby, and she was counted as part of Israel. She will receive the reward that comes by faith. Do you understand?
Okay. Why I'm asking this question is okay. Because I was a Christian, really, and the pastor was actually saying, even as a believer, what happened is that we are being judged by our last, whatever we do last.
Did he show you Bible? Did he show Bible verse when he said that thing that he said?
No, he has some, how will I put it? It's...
You know, because I like talking on the basis of scripture. If what he said is what he said, that's no foundation in scripture. You understand? Maybe what he's trying to talk about is Ezekiel 18, that was talking about the last act that you do and all of that. Okay? But if somebody is a Christian, he cannot be judged based on the last thing he did. Except if the last thing he did is a sin that can now take him away from being a Christian into being an unbeliever. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if he's a Christian, but you have been saying for no sin. Will God now judge him because he's been lano? Do you understand what I'm saying? Christianity is a life. It's a life, it's an entire life. If he did not go back into sin, he cannot be judged with the last thing he did. Remember that there are records. So would they remove all the other things he has done, and then it's this one? But if it is that he went into sin, but as you know, before he got born again, moto balono, fire straightening. Do you understand? But if that's not what you're saying, if it's just on the basis of maybe he ate too much food, the Holy Spirit says you don't eat too much food, you can't go to hell because he ate too much food, and the Holy Spirit says you don't eat too much food. He may have constipation. He may be punished in his body. Do you understand? But it won't be that he will go to hell on that basis. Okay? And the pastor that said that, let him give you scripture. If he gives you scripture, we can deal with the scripture. Okay?
Said whether or many, it's none of your but put your mind on your life with God, the way to life. A lot of you are going to assume that you sitting around God's salvation, a lot of you are going to assume that you will sit down in God's salvation banquet just because you have been hanging around the neighborhood. The first question I have here is, how do one get to be free from assumption? Because Jesus Christ speaking is like, see, we have seen our whole life. And he was saying, one, you assume. That's the first thing. Then the second question I have is, he said that hanging around. Why would Jesus Christ use the word hanging around? Then how can one get out of hanging around?
Okay, good questions. The first one about assumption is to ask yourself questions and tell yourself the truth. Okay? Instead of assuming that you are this and that, let the word of God judge you. The Bible calls itself a mirror. What does the Bible call itself? But see, the Bible is a two-faced mirror. It's a mirror of who you are and who you ought to be. So when you stand before it, you will honestly see who you are. When you see who you are, don't now say, Sister Kwejulele, verse your feet here. And your name is not Kweju. But if you check the Bible you are using, they wrote your name in front. So your Bible will speak to who? You as a person. Whatever the word of God says about you, accept it. That's when you can stop being who you are and you can now start being who God wants you to be. That's even when you receive grace to be who God wants you to be. So that's that first one. Okay? Now, the issue of hanging around. That you were born into a church-going family does not mean that you're born into a Christian family. Amen? And that your family goes to church, or maybe that, let's even assume that maybe your mom is actually a Christian or your father is actually a Christian. It doesn't mean that you're a Christian. That you're hanging around them and no evil thing has happened to them because God does not want to bring them distraction. Okay? So he's been saving you and all that. Does not make you a Christian. You may know the Lord's Prayer and the rest of those things until you respond and report at Calvary for your own soul. You have not come in. You are still hanging around. Do you get it now? So how do you stop hanging around? By stopping being a spectator. When it comes to the things of God, what is God saying to me as a person? If you ask him, and you want to be serious with your Bible, and you want to obey what the Word of God says, it's simple. He will start telling you, those songs on your phone, remove them. Don't wear this type of clothes. Huh? Those friends that you're keeping, you can't move with them anymore. Are you getting it now? And when you begin to respond to the things that is raising with you, you know, you have given him room to now continue with you. And that way, you are no longer a spectator. You are no longer somebody hanging around. There's where God is with you as far as your journey in life is concerned. That's the answer.
Judas was all this.
Yeah. He was. Judas was. He never asked any question. He understood all the parables of Jesus and all the explanation. He had no issues. Even though he was full of issues and he was a thief. Never asked any question. Never saw Jesus privately. Was never alone with Jesus alone. It's as if he's always afraid to be with Jesus alone. He was all those. And see where he ended. May we not be like that in Jesus' name. Somebody who has casted out the devil before. Somebody who has preached the gospel before. Be Agberoni. That did not make it home. That will not be you. It won't be me in the name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May his face shine on you in Jesus' name.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-8133-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-409-9123-21. Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life